Hello everyone and welcome to GFG tonight as we update on the news and we continue our time without any contact from Coach Red Pill. Is he dead? Is he captured? Is he being tortured? Or is he just lying low as he should, because in the current circumstances he's in extreme danger. No matter the situation he's in, it's either death or extreme danger. James had beautiful words on the Discord server today. He said there are hundreds of wars throughout history where we will never know the facts of the war that influence it as it happens. CRP gave us this tremendous gift. This information is vital to understanding the times we live in and for future generations. I hope he is alive, but if not, I'll always remember what CRP did for truth finding in a world more and more devoid of it. And we learned that Chile is currently looking for Gonzalo Lira for their citizen, because for those who didn't know, Coach Red Pill was a citizen of Chile, although he was a cosmopolitan traveler of the world, with a family in Ukraine, with offices maybe in the US, maybe in England. He was a big guy traveling the world, but he had his home in Ukraine where he had a family. We'll see if Chile can find him, but he's been reported by some I believe untrustable journalists on Twitter to have been captured by the Azov Battalion. This is what people take away from her tweet, but her tweet is not clear. Her tweet is, Chile is investigating Coach Red Pill for being captured illegally by the Azov Battalion. That's a weird phrasing. If she knew anything, she would say it in another format. Saying that someone is getting investigated for something is not the same thing as saying that thing happened. So I wouldn't conclude that he's been kidnapped, but it's very possible. It's a chilling message he was leaving on his Twitter just before disappearing, where he said, if I disappear in the next 12 hours, Google, and he says, Google this series of name, and he named many different Ukrainians who got kidnapped by Azov Battalion and got assassinated on the streets and their bodies left on the street. So it seems that just before disappearing, Coach Red Pill felt that there was something, that he was at high risk. But he may have made a risky decision that could have been rewarding. Perhaps he is safe somewhere, but precisely to preserve his safety, he cannot communicate. Or perhaps he's been deprived of his cell phone, of a charging station, or whatever. So everything is still possible. Lendalt Guntram says, Azov Battalion in Kharkov. Was he not up there in Kharkov? Yes, he was in Kharkiv, and it's important to say, when we say Azov Battalion, we may not mean the precise official Azov Battalion, but we mean this these neo-Nazis of Ukraine that organize as a mafia, that have different names where they operate, but basically we're talking about the big bad guys of Ukraine that would have killed CRP if that is what happened, or kidnapped him, perhaps for exchanging him. By putting himself in the limelight, he has given himself some value as a prisoner of war, but he has also given himself some value as a dead body. So you have to be careful. He has been taking many risks, and I don't think we should fear for him or even cry for him, because ultimately, even if he's dead, he chose his death, and it's a glorious death. And he chose it in a way that leaves no doubt. There will always be this echo of his last tweet of Google. If you want to understand what the Zelensky regime is about, Google these names. And it's just a list of Ukrainians that were kidnapped or killed by the Zelensky regime. And he says, If in 12 hours you don't hear from me, add me to the list. Add me to this list of people who got killed. Wow. That is some courageous. And you know, people were telling me yesterday, JF, why are you so happy, smiling and all? You should be sad. I don't think we should be sad. I think that there is so much disrespect for death and for honorable death in this world. Everyone thinks only about how to live, and no one thinks about having a nice death. And I think that Coach Red Pill gave his all before dying, if he did die. We'll know soon. I mean, perhaps we'll find his body on the streets, or perhaps we'll find him hiding in a basement. Alex Jones mulls strategic bankruptcy for media empire. Media host Alex Jones is, oh well, that was old news, but actually they were saying he was advised to start a bankruptcy, but now we know that he did. So Alex Jones will be going for bankruptcy. I think it's a clever thing. I think this is what he has to do. When you start having the judges go after you and find you guilty for things that you don't think you have committed, they will basically make it so that any future money you make could be seized to be given to the plaintiffs. And so Alex Jones was found guilty of something very bizarre in my view, this whole Sandy Hook thing. First, yeah, I don't agree with the coverage of Alex Jones, but there has to be, in a society like ours, there has to be a distance between, I don't agree with this coverage because it's not true, but then there's the, you will lose millions of dollars for that coverage. I mean, I don't see anyone claiming that the Daily Beast should lose millions of dollars for writing hit pieces against me. So the big problem of this society is that it goes after certain people, and there's only certain kinds of speech that lead to that kind of consequences. Any sort of journalistic outlet basically has immunity in this country from defamation lawsuits. And Alex Jones, he was probably not very careful in his coverage and started claiming that people were actors when they were not, of course. You don't set up a whole false flag that doesn't work, a false flag as a shooting that doesn't work. So he was kind of carried by the internet a little too far here, and he didn't do his due diligence to make some research, because it's very easy to get on a forum or 4chan and you read what's on there and you start believing something. But a lot of stuff coming from these places is just inaccurate. Sometimes we are very surprised at what's accurate that comes from these places, and that's beautiful. But sometimes they are just points of insertion for false narratives, precisely to catch people, to lead people down the wrong path. So you have to be careful. He wasn't careful, but that doesn't deserve millions of dollars in liabilities, which is what he's been found guilty for, or found to be liable for. So a bankruptcy will wash this all away, and presumably Alex Jones, in terms of his capacity to produce, will not be strongly affected. I would suppose that if he took that option, that he's been knowing for a long time that this was coming, and I would suppose that he has restructured his corporation in a way that whatever they can take as part of the bankruptcy will be minimal. As Tim Pool was pointing out, Alex Jones has value that is inherent and unseizable. Alex Jones could lose all of his studio and he would have a cell phone and people would still watch him. So I guess this is what we're going to see. Perhaps if there is ever a a seizing of his media material, that will just hamper him in his production for a couple of months and he'll be back on his feet. It's not super hard to restart a studio from scratch And so the best strategy here is bankruptcy, and then you own nothing for the rest of your life. You make sure that when you're going to be on your next media project, that it's owned by someone else and that you're an employee. That's the right thing to do. So I hope that Alex Jones will be doing well through this period, and I would love to have him as a guest here. I would love to speak with Alex. He's always a clown, but I think that under the claws of Papa JF, I believe we could get some honest talk with the guy, and I could get him to remove his mask. So if you know Alex Jones, let him know that I would like to invite him on JFG tonight. Not for strong questioning around the bankruptcy stuff, because I know it's what he has to do. He's been attributed damages that he doesn't find to be fair, and now he's accused of hiding $19 million. But they're saying basically that InfoWars was spending a lot of money in 2018, 2019, and that would be a hidden strategy to redirect money. But you have to also acknowledge that Alex Jones was actually investing on his media presence back in those years. He was expanding enormously at InfoWars. He was hiring a lot of people. So I don't think it was part of a strategy to become insolvent. Although when you are targeted by these lawsuits, it's a good strategy to start spending. Start spending and build human capital, which is exactly what Alex Jones did. Because you know that the bank in your money is going to get taken. So what do you do? Well, you hire a lot of employees, a lot of people who owe you favors, you know. And you know, I remember Alex Jones was running tournaments, a contest for new journalists. He was hiring young journalists and giving them a chance to build on his platform. Grapes Coda says, "I can't believe Alex Jones was in mainstream news in the UK. They've never mentioned him before. It shows that they know we're more in touch with alt media than they make out." Oh yes, Alex Jones is a big thing, whether you try to ban him or not. And he's a living proof that you can get banned of most social media, and things will just continue. You always have a fan base. There are always people who experience alt media as the one important news, and they don't care about what CNN has to serve them. Silver Spider says, "Jeff, what do you think Alex Jones' IQ is?" It's a good question. He's probably a non-scientist 130. So, the thing with Alex Jones, you have to be careful. He's clearly not educated in science, so you have to evaluate him. You almost have to give him a bonus. That's the thing. If I had a scientifically literate person spouting stuff like Alex Jones, I would definitely go toward the 120, 110. But Alex Jones is very clownish in his, it's part of his personality. I'm not saying it in a dismissive manner. It's beautiful. But you have to know that if he's clownish, he's going to say stuff that if an intelligent person was saying this in the first, like, was to say this while believing in it, was to say it non-ironically, that person would have a lower intelligence because they would have been effectively deceived by a falsehood. But Alex Jones is not really deceived by falsehood. Alex Jones is playing a game. Yes, he's a comedian. That's what he is. All right, if you'd like to support the show, send a regular chat or send a hyper chat by clicking on the dollar button. The Odyssey platform is my favorite platform for questions and super chats, or you can use our link to Entropy. Entropy also has a payment system for super chats. I've increased the hyper chat minimum in LBC to 20 instead of 5 because someone noted, and that's true, that the dollar super chats are at $5 minimum, but the LBC super chats were at 5 LBC, which currently equals to 15 cents. And it's true that there was an injustice here. It was very easy to send an LBC super chat, but much more costly to send a cash super chat. And because I don't want to de-incentivize the cash super chats, because they're ultimately my favorite way of sending super chats, I'm going to increase the LBC super chat minimum. It's now at 20. I don't know if I'll do more. It's still unjust at 20, because at 20 it means it's 60 cents to send a LBC super chat. But at the same time, we are on Odyssey. A lot of people are accumulating LBC that they want to give away. And it's kind of a free crypto that you get as a reward if you use Odyssey a lot. So I'm fine with it being still unfair to the cash super chat, but not so unfair as it used to be. Tillman says, Jeff, what was the result of the poll yesterday? I don't remember, but I remember there were not many voters, so I didn't want to tell a result based on two or one vote. I prefer having a little more statistical data when I report. And tonight on Entropy, our question is CRP still alive? I still have some amount of faith, you know. I think there is a chance that clever CRP, you know, a high intelligence man, has found an opportunity out. And if he has estimated that it was his best opportunity out, perhaps it was safe for him. Perhaps he found a way. I've always found his behavior, although extremely risky. Going into Kharkiv like this, staying into Kharkiv, what was the goal of all this? I mean, to a certain extent, if he died, he truly chose his death, because this was, but I'm not the man to judge, you know. I'm the man to respect another man's choice of how he lives and how he dies. So I have respect for this, but how can I say it? If your goal was survival, you didn't make the right decisions. That's it. Let's frame it as an if goal. If your goal was survival, you have made weird choices. Gary Black was saying the Twitter board interest aren't aligned with Twitter shareholders. The board serves to represent shareholders. If they refuse to act in the best interest of shareholders, they should be removed and replaced by a new board member who understands their fiduciary obligation. Let me point out something obvious. If Elon Musk takes Twitter private, the Twitter board members don't have jobs anymore, which pays them $250,000 to $300,000 per year for what is a nice part-time job. That could explain a lot. This whole exposition that Elon Musk is making of the Twitter board makes me realize some things about the corporate world. I hadn't gathered an understanding yet that the corporate world is controlled by people who have zero interest in the economics of it. I mean, other than their reputation and perhaps just looking good, the people who are on the Twitter board are getting paid. They don't have shares in the company. They were saying the big guys of the Twitter board altogether total to about 77 shares. I don't know if it's an actual, if you remove Jack Dorsey, I don't know if it's an actual count or just mocking, but in any case, the percentage of ownership are ridiculously low. These people are not incentivized to make good decisions with respect to their shareholders. So that's why we see them the corporate world is subject to a shortcut. And when I see these board members play poison pill kind of games to basically keep the control of Twitter under the oligarchic mainstream line of thinking, against the explicit currency, the explicit economic interest of their shareholders, I realize that our entire corporate world is subject to a shortcut. These technocrats are, you don't even have to convince shareholders. You just have to convince a bunch of operatives that are up there in the big tech. That's how big tech was taken over. Mama JF, you cannot chat that kind of things. I will be removing your chat. Do not put us in trouble here. You've created enough trouble, Mama JF. I will not let you create trouble in Odyssey. All right, Griffith sends a 20 LBC super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Griffith, he says one fucking LBC. Well, you say one fucking LBC, but you just sent me 20 fucking LBC. Ex-Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey slams the board's dysfunction after response to Musk's buyout bid. Elon Musk offered to buy Twitter last week for $43 billion. Look at this. Jack Dorsey is responding to a tweet that was commenting. What I do know for sure is that this old Silicon Valley proverb is grounded in age-old wisdom that still applies today. Good boards don't create good companies, but a bad board will kill a company every time. And Jack Dorsey says big facts. And he had earlier commented, well, later he commented on a on a comment on the board of Twitter. Okay. Mama JF was not seeking to put the channel in trouble. Mama JF was just quoting Quentin Tarantino. Ah, it was her love of arts. she was being a philanthropist of the arts, and she was simply quoting Quentin Tarantino. Hello, Mama JF.
Yes, it was not me, like, but, honestly. You show me this movie, DF, so I learn from you.
Okay, so I've influenced you with bad movies.
Yes.
Oh, I have to be careful what I show Mama JF because she absorbs a lot of Quentin Tarantino. And, you know, I should find Quentin Tarantino movies that are beeped so that she can... she cannot absorb what we don't want her to absorb. So Jack Dorsey explicitly saying it's consistently been the dysfunction of the company. That was in response to a tweet that was pointing to the board being the source of the dysfunction of Twitter. Wow. Now here's the thing. Yeet says, are you allowed to say this? Because a lot of these corporate guys, they sign a contract with the company that makes them, they cannot, either while they are on the board or after a given amount of days that they left the board, they cannot talk against the board. So he's probably under such a contract. And to Yeet, who was saying, are you allowed to say this? He answered, no. Jack Dorsey just violating his contractual engagements. I don't think he would get in enormous trouble. I think best case scenario, they would start a case against him saying you breached your duty, and he would say, I don't care, punish me and whatever. How much do you want to charge? Like, Jack Dorsey has millions of dollars, so he could easily pay any fine. But he has chosen to speak because I believe he is very much in line with Elon Musk in terms of him taking over Twitter and making it a more open thing. I think that Jack Dorsey has mentioned lately that he was experiencing regret and guilt as to what he has allowed Twitter to become. So I like that he's doing this. You know, I remember this whole... Jack Dorsey appearing on small live streams. Do you remember this moment? he did appear on Joe Rogan, but that month, he also, we've seen him appear on small live streams when Twitter was in the limelight and people were asking about censorship. And what I found in that move, which was probably against the recommendations of his media people to engage with very, very small live streams, I think that Jack Dorsey was trying to blink. He was trying to send us signals from the inside that he didn't have control of what was happening, that he would have wanted the internet to go a different way. He's always struck me, although he did go on these shows with his trust and safety lady, and he did ended up defending the decisions of the company. I think that in his heart, he never believed in those decisions. And I think he was feeling forced to stand with what the company has decided. And he was feeling that by delegating everything to his technocrat leaders, that somehow it wasn't his responsibility anymore. Mama JF says she was quoting from The Hateful Eight. Well, thankfully, we are on Odyssey, because I don't think we could even say the we couldn't even say the name of the movie at this point on YouTube. Disclose.tv says, Justin, U.S. federal judge declares CDC's mask mandate for planes and trains unlawful. Look at this. A judge. She's a female judge who was trained by Clarence Thomas, who did clerk work for Clarence Thomas. And she has been named a judge by Donald Trump. And she has now declared that the federal mandate forcing people to wear masks on planes and trains is unlawful because it has been declared not by the legislature, but it has been declared by the CDC, and the CDC doesn't have the authority to decide of people's health and to decide decisions that relate to the aviation industry. Very interesting decision. So it's a technical reason, I guess, that based on this administrative type of argument, the federal government could still oppress your rights in health and choice, individual choice in health matters, but they would have to do so through the Congress. They would have to do so not through an executive order that eventually triggers a CDC rule. It's not the role of the CDC to decide what the law is and to impose stuff on aviation companies. Value of Jack Dorsey's first tweet plummets 99% as NFT market craters. Well, of course, when we're in a bear market, and I don't know that we're fully in a bear market yet on BTC, I still personally have hope that BTC will rise again and reach its true top. But it's still not a super good time for the crypto, no matter what. And of course, the NFTs are becoming worth nothing. a man who paid $2.9 million last March for an NFT of Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey's first tweet is set to lose almost everything on the digital investment. The Iranian-born Estevi expected to make more than 15x on the investment, listing it on popular NFT marketplace OpenSea last week. For $48 million, he vowed to send 50% of the proceeds to charity. Unfortunately for Estevi, the top bid as of this writing is just $30,739, a loss on paper of roughly 99% what he paid. Well, in a bear market, you're not going to get any buyers. If you buy NFTs, most likely you're throwing your money out the window. And if you're very lucky, you can make money on your NFTs, but it will be like 4 or 8 years down the line. There's no other way around. No one will pay you 15x for in the same bull run. Impossible. CNN Chile confirms Gonzalo Lira, that the Chile government is investigating the illegal capture of civilian Gonzalo Lira by Ukrainian neo-Nazi Azov forces in Kharkov, Ukraine. I don't know that that's a proper representation of what is happening, because when you read the original article, here I have the translation in English, there's no mention that it's known that he's been kidnapped by the Azov battalion. The only mention is that the relatives of Coach Red Pill have not heard from him since April 15. So the foreign ministry, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is investigating, and they are talking to everyone they can to determine where CRP is. Friends and relatives of the Chilean novelist and film director Gonzalo Lira Lopez, who was in the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv, have lost contact with him since April 15. They reported that they maintain communication with the relevant entities to report any news about the location of the compatriot. Since the beginning of the Russian occupation, the writer of Acrobat Counterparts, Operation Providence, and Double Salto used his YouTube channel to tell what was happening in the war between Russia and Ukraine. It's amazing, because this is CNN, and they're not taking a dump onto CRP. It's not like the Daily Beast. You know? The Daily Beast, every sentence you would have, the spreader of fake news, misinformation, who has multiple times spread misogynistic memes on... No, it's like, it's CNN Chile, and we have some amount of respect. I would love CNN Chile to write an article about me that way. Gonzalo Lira, known by the pseudonym Coach Red Pill, wrote, and on top of it, they quote his last tweet that literally says, "Do you want to know the truth about the Zelensky regime? Google these names: Vladimir Strzok, Denis Kirev, Mikhail and Alexander Kononovich, Nestor Shefrich, Jan Taksir, Dmitry Jangirov, Elena Berezyanaya. If you haven't heard from me in 12 hours or more, put my name on this list." Wow. What a letter of preparation to die. This was his tweet, but that was from March, actually. So it's not his last tweet, sorry. But somehow CNN Chile decided to present it as, okay, wrote for the last time on his Twitter account on April 15. But days before, on March 26, he stated, okay, I was fooled by the phrasing, but I think we should do exactly what's tonight, as a celebration of the life of CRP. We should do exactly what he's told us to do. We will Google each of these names and we will see what happened to them. Let's start with this one. Volodymyr Strzok, pro-Russian mayor of Ukrainian city, reportedly killed after being kidnapped from home. The pro-Russian mayor of a Ukrainian city in the self-declared Republic of Luhansk has reportedly been killed after being kidnapped from his home. Suffered a gunshot to the heart. Okay, let's Google the next one. Denis Kirev. Who is Denis Kirev? Did Ukraine execute its official peace negotiator for spying for Russia? Ukraine's peace negotiator was shot dead defending the nation amid claims he was a double agent working for Russia. Officials in Kiev said Denis Kirev, 45, a spy and former banker, was killed during an operation defending the nation. Something tells me he wasn't spying. Something tells me the team of negotiator was unhappy with his stance, and they decided to take over. Just like there were Twitter board takeovers, there has been a Ukraine peace negotiator takeover. And when they don't like what one of the members thought, they killed him. Nestor Shefrich. Nestor Shefrich is a Ukrainian parliamentarian and politician. I don't know his Wikipedia page. On March 4th, Shufrich was arrested for allegedly providing the invading Russian military with locations and other intel about the defending Ukrainian army during the 2022 Russian invasion of Ukraine. Put in jail for being too much part of the opposition. I don't know that these allegations are true. Orthodox journalist Jan Taxier is in Kiev detention center. On March 10, armed men posing as SBU officers detained well-known journalist Jan Taxier in Kiev. Maria Taxier, a daughter of Ukrainian Orthodox journalist and TV presenter Jan, arrested by the SBU, said that now he is in the Lukyanivsky pre-trial detention center in Kiev. So those are the people that Coach Red Pill wanted us to Google. He also said Dmitry Djangirov. And what happened to him? Dmitry Djangirov, a Ukrainian journalist, is missing. In this article, you may learn about his whereabouts, age, Wikipedia information, and whatever. So he's missing. A journalist disappeared. And perhaps Coach Red Pill knew that he was about to become a journalist disappeared. Another outlet that covers the story, Syriana Analysis. Gonzalo Lira has gone missing in Ukraine. This is how you may help. They say 54-year-old Chilean-American who was reporting from Kharkov since the start of the war has not been heard from since Friday. When the war erupted in Ukraine, we came across a citizen journalist on Twitter. His name is Gonzalo Lira. Gonzalo presents a different picture of the Ukraine war, a picture that contradicts the mainstream narrative. Thanks to his reporting, Gonzalo gained tens of thousands of followers thirsty for reading the other side of the story. However, Gonzalo knew that he is risking his life by reporting not only from Ukraine, but also from one of the Nazi headquarters, and that is Kharkov. Artemis says, what happened to CRP, guys? I just arrived. Any news article talking about it? Yeah, I presented this Syriana Analysis, and CNN Chile is covering it. We don't know what happened. We don't know. Silver Fox says, Coach Dead Pill. We don't know if Coach Red Pill is dead, but he's been missing for now more than 2 days. So I don't know. I don't know what it means. We'll have to wait to know more. He was really in a risky position. It's not like being, say, at the heart of a Russian-controlled town in the Donbass. It's really, he was not only at the front line of the war, but so what happens at the front line of the war is that a lot of these Nazi guys end up being the last defenders. And they go extremely nervous and extremely suspicious, and they know that they can act in full impunity. So they don't care. They know that at the front line of the war, there will be no information coming out. And people keep dying for all reasons, and so killing one more isn't a problem for them. So it's a really bad place to be at the point of tension between the two nations. Mama JF, what's up?
We can say that Coach Red Pill took the ultimate red pill.
He took the ultimate red pill?
Yes, now he's in. He went away from the Matrix.
He went away from the Matrix. Yes. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, he did. When you end up choosing very likely your own death for your last red pill, that is a nice way to die, you know. Die choosing the truth rather than die choosing the lie. And Coach Red Pill, I don't know of anyone else who's done what he's done. I know that there are journalists who are underground trying to get the best information, but none of them go right at the heart of the front line to say, fuck you, Zelensky. And here I'm going to expose all of the billionaires who control your battalions and your mafia. It's like, this is a level of oppositionality that I've never seen in my life. never seen this. Very noble. Even I, you know, as a contrarian, I would probably, if I was to going to criticize a billionaire, I'd make sure that I'm on a jurisdiction where this billionaire doesn't have AK-47s and mafia members ready to kill me. Meanwhile, the Donbass, the offensive onto the Donbass by Russia has been launched. So we are in, I don't know, it could be the last rides of this war in terms of heavy engagement, or it could be just a step toward a further invasion. But for now, the big thing that will draw our attention are the front lines around the Donbass, around the line from Kharkov to Mykolaiv, and the bombardments that are associated with it. So let's have a look at the images from today. Those are artillery shells being launched into the sky from the Donetsk region. Spud Ruckus says, has anyone backed up his channel or videos before they get Epsteined? I don't know of anyone. Perhaps it's a good project to do, because I won't do it. But if someone has the heart and the time to do this, that would be a nice thing to do. So the lines of combat here, again, what's becoming extremely important in this war is this line between Kharkov and Mykolaiv. And the whole circle here, this is where we see a lot of engagement, although we don't have photos for each of these red circles, because for many of them, all we have are text reports. Photos have finally emerged of the Moskva, the ship that was sunk by a Ukrainian missile, and I think that the photos confirm one thing. There was a time at which there was a fire, and there was even a rescue personnel on their way. And so that was the state of the Moskva when the Russian army denied that it had been sunk. Yet, they were right. It hadn't been sunk. And they've actually tried to put out this fire and tried to tow the Moskva. But the towing didn't work, and the Moskva apparently started sinking. So those are the first pictures that we have of the event. Very informative. We have drops of shells that have affected here Gorlovka. We can see the smoke still from the explosion. Firemen are on the site. And we have some engagement between a Ukrainian tank and perhaps some other ground forces or Ukrainian or Russian tank. We can see him send his missile, his rocket or whatever, and touch some target there. Very hard to know if what was the target being aimed here. Thomas Howard says, I hope someone has a copy of JF's New Year stream when CRP came on after drinking heavily and went on Tut Patrol. I'd like to remember him in those happier times. Wow, that's a long time ago. I don't know if I have a copy of this, but yeah, I remember this. This was against, what's her name? This woman that I've totally erased from the show. Anika. Anika Skywalker. Oh my god, he was absolutely unleashed. And then Anika, for some reason, came on my show months later and pulled a fucking gun on my show while saying the N-word. What the fuck? Oh my god. I invite this girl for some commenting on the COVID stuff, while the COVID stuff was just emerging. It was very fresh. Mainstream media was not on the case yet. She just pulls out a gun and she's like, N-word, on YouTube. What the fuck is wrong with this woman? Well, didn't see that episode. Of course you didn't see it because I had to delete it, but and even what survived, I had to republish it while cutting away this part. I mean, there might have been just 100 or 200 people live. These 200 people will be the last. I mean, I don't know that there were recordings of this event, because as soon as the live was finished, I had to delete it. Tuttle Grimm says I was there live. What the fuck is happening in the head of this woman? I guess this is what happens when you're a beautiful woman. It's like you don't think rules apply to you. How can you come on my show and pull a fucking gun while screaming N-word? How does that happen? And there was not even a context for it. I mean, this is the kind of bizarre thing that makes you think you are in some kind of simulation or someone is fucking with us. Who sent this girl? Who sent Utsav? Who is it? Is it a message from God, or is it a billionaire trying to catch me to ban my channel? What the fuck is sending these ridiculous people to my show? Tonight's arrival in one of the districts of Kharkiv. So arrival of some strike. Well, that is quite the explosion. Very hard to know exactly what's happening. Meanwhile, some residents in Mykolaiv are getting terrorized by the falling shells. And we can see the damage that was done by the shell on the building. The general rule, they were saying two wall rules on the video. They were saying if you want to be safe from this kind of minor explosion, you choose a place in the house where there's two levels of walls, so that the first wall is the one that has the hole in it and explodes and the shards come in, but the second wall protects you from the shards. Arrival of other bombardments around Mykolaiv. So these lines of fighting from Mykolaiv on the west to Kharkiv on the east are becoming the seat of intense fighting. Here we have Kramatorsk. All right, other images coming from Kherson toward the direction of Mykolaiv. So perhaps those were the missiles being sent that we've seen earlier drop onto Mykolaiv.
Ё-моё, блядь, ах ты, блядь, сука, твою медь. Ё-моё, блядь, ах...
Okay. What else has happened? Azovstal, this is a place, my god, the destruction on this one is massive, but this is a place that has been targeted for major strikes and explosion. You can see the buildings here totally destroyed, and here you can see a big fire as started somewhere. Azovstal. I don't know where that city is. This is a fire that was started by incoming missiles. Major fire started by these strikes. This was in Kharkiv, exactly where Coach Red Pill was last known to be. That's also from Kharkiv, the CRP location. Okay, Azovstal is not a city, it's a steel industry in Mariupol. Ah, okay, so that would be the steel industry where the last fighters of the Azov battalion are located, but wasn't it close to the ocean? I don't know. Maybe there was some ocean on the video and I didn't notice, but I felt that Azovstal was closer to the ocean than what would be shown in the video. Anyways, those are the bombardments of Kharkiv during the night. Lendalt says, yes, it is very close to the sea. There's even a port there. Okay, well, it's weird because, I mean, if they're telling me this is Azovstal, I don't know, man. I don't see the sea. Look, I see ground here. I see ground here. But maybe there's some water there, but it looks like a reservoir of some kind. Oh, maybe the sea is here. Maybe that's exactly where it is. Yeah, could be. This could be sea also. I don't know. Maybe they're correct. It's Azovstal, and it was just hard for me to see the sea. The first minute after today's shelling of Lviv, so a western city of Ukraine, is being targeted. Many deaths are reported from these strikes, and we can see the initial results of the strike here. Silver Fox says, concerning Azovstal, yes, it's right next to the coast. It's a massive facility. Basically, its own little city with a large underground complex. It's fascinating that this is the last stand of the Nazis in Mariupol. Underground defense, okay. But I guess there must be ways for the Russian army to eventually make sure that these fighters are taken out. I believe that there was a last warning given by the Russian army that this was the last moment to leave Mariupol, and that after this, anyone who's captured would go through some sort of filtering process, which I guess is a filtering process where they will be assumed to be enemy combatants. Semi Martingale says, Jeff, I was also there live for Annika. I remember seeing you on a debate channel afterward where she was co-host, but didn't talk to you. I sent a super chat later to them about when Annika was going to pull out a gun and shout the N-word and then not apologize for it. Yeah, I know I've been on a show after that where she was present. I didn't bring any of this up, you know why? Because I was invited on this show by iHypocrite. And I thought it would lower the quality of the whole thing if I was to come with a personal vindication against Annika. To me, when a woman starts acting chaotically like this, you have to contain and isolate. And that's what I did with Annika. I kind of move there with my mental force away from any place where she can hurt me. I'm not trying to reason with Annika. I'm not trying to get her to learn about the wrongs that she did. I'm not trying to make Annika a better person. I'm trying to create a parallel universe in which Annika can live and where she will never disrupt my life again. And then I, hypocrite, invites me on this show. She turns out to be the co-host. I didn't even know. But once I'm on the show, I'm like, am I going to start making a case? I didn't even remember. I was just vaguely remembering danger, 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 blonde woman, danger. So those are all the circumstances in which I didn't bring it up. And when I'm on a show, and especially I've been invited by High Hypocrite, who I have nothing against, despite his association with this sick person, I'm like, okay, it's mano at mano, you know, it doesn't matter what this woman says. Silver Spider says, JF used the force, lol. That's how you would also deal with any Skywalker. Yeah, because her name is Annika Skywalker. There's such a bizarre such a bizarre history around this girl, you know, who promoted herself as a robot maker for Obama. Like, the first time I encountered this woman, she was on Warsky Live, I believe, and she was saying that she had made a robot and she had brought it to Barack Obama at the White House. So she was in this whole science education line. Well, we have to show that women can do science. As I've said in other circumstances, show me the fucking robots. Because I can show you a half a dozen female robot team makers, but I've never seen the robots. I've never seen the fucking robots. I've seen the woman hang out on Instagram with pictures of themselves winning those medals for robot making, but I've never seen the freaking robot. Mama JF is here. She is here to prove that women can make robots.
Yes.
Did you bring a robot?
But I think, wasn't it a potato throwing robot?
Oh yeah, it was a potato gun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If I make a potato gun, I end up in jail, by the way. Which is why all of the potato gun contests will always be won by cute women. It's not fair competition. I can make a very good potato gun. It's just that it would kill, you know. I would end up in jail for having an illegal arm. Yesterday's arrival of the rocket in Kharkiv, other bombardments of Kharkiv here. The animals know danger is coming in advance. I want you to look right here. You will see a little animal that I just noticed. I think this animal knows that something is up. He's seeking cover very quick. And boom, explosion. 3D printed potato guns. The moments of today's arrival of the rockets in Kharkiv again, that's another, perhaps another angle or perhaps another rocket. There you go. Strikes hitting random things. Spud Ruckus sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. She says, yes, oh my god, I remember that because I remember her not being particularly impressive at all and say wishing it had been a solo show. Yes, well, I mean, if you come to my show pulling a loaded gun and starting yelling racial epithets, yes, I will wish that it was a solo show, especially on YouTube. Here on Odyssey, I don't know, you know, there might be a way I can I can say, oh, it was a comedic performance, it wasn't genuine hate, but on YouTube, no, you can't do this. And look at this in Irpin, the Ukrainians have to drive on totally destroyed infrastructure. Here, a bridge that was, I don't know, could have been destroyed by the Russians, but also we've seen the Ukrainians destroy a lot of their own bridges. And look at this, they have to drive on the remaining lane. I don't know. Very risky driving there. Thomas Howard says, Annika was very impressive. A robotic scientist plus the titas. What are the titas? Have you ever seen the titas of Annika Skywalker? I haven't. She has always been prudely upping the camera to a point where I couldn't see them. But yeah, there was also a dysfunction in her performance that night in terms of understanding the HIV arguments. You know, those people who were claiming that there were traces of HIV in COVID, and as I've argued, that night didn't look solid to me. That is the state of the situation operationally around Lugansk and Mariupol. So Lugansk is where the Izium city is located, and Izium has been completely destroyed and is a place of advancement for the Russian forces. And it seems that these areas are claimed by the Russian in yellow, and in blue we have remaining forces of Ukrainian counter-offensives. So we can see that the Russians are trying to perform a kind of penetration from the north and the south and eventually take over the whole area. And that is the Azovstal location that we've seen earlier. So that's the 2 points remaining in Mariupol where some Azov battalions / Ukraine soldiers / NATO soldiers are located. Not much territory left to cover for the Russian army here, but a last stance type of resistance can be a painful thing and a long process. Azov successfully ambushed a Russian convoy. This is published by the Azov battalion. We can see a Russian convoy arriving, and well, I don't know. It's claimed on the video that it's a Russian convoy. And we can see the Azov battalion people come here. While the convoy was blocked because there were sandbags on the street, so it has trapped himself into a trap here. And we will see the Azov guys are coming here with a rocket launcher. And the cars are catching fire. However, I mean, I don't know. Firestarter says, looks like civilian. Well, there's video later where we can see they have some kind of army clothing, but I can't tell if it's Russian or not Russian. But they do have some army clothing, and eventually all of the people in these cars die. Many of their bodies are on the streets. I will not show that part, but we see the Azov battalion coming from the wall and finishing them off with some grenades. All right, and a soldier on the Ukrainian side was saved by his cell phone. A bullet, instead of hitting him, has stopped at his cell phone.
Единственное, что спасло мою жизнь, это телефон за 20,000 и жетонники мне.
Через Ксиву чуть перельоти такі пішли, слава Богу.
І ці гандонів не так, як нас 545.
This is a life saved by a cell phone. What a good protection if you can wear it at the right place. The Blaze, it's very rare that I like a news item at the Blaze, but this one is hilarious. Oops. Woke diversity activist accused DJ of wearing blackface at school event, but it turns out the DJ was actually black. Look at this guy. It's like, you are an imposter, sir. Let me remove your mask. Firestarter says, stream down, F. Dark Urza says, stream down. oh, well, let's hope that you guys can refresh. I have no sign here that I'm offline, so I'm pretty sure that it will recover on your side. Let's see if I refresh. yeah, I see myself still alive, so please refresh your browser. I'm live. Let's see if people can get me back, because here I'm looking at myself live and it does seem that I'm live. Froze, still F. I'm back up, says Ariel Suarez. yeah, it seems that still freeze at the same moment. Restarting app worked a little. Well. In any case, I was thinking of ending the show, so I guess we can end here on this comedic note of the Blaze coverage. I will answer the questions and I'll re-upload the video anyways so that it's not frozen for you guys. Semi Martingal says, why is the term oligarch exclusively used in reference to Russians instead of US technocrats? Also, what a great honor, you were one of CRP's last interviewers, a great friend. Yeah, it's a good question. There's certainly a double standard here, because the people who accumulate power in... and yeah, there are some people who are still seeing the show. Zib says, I'm still seeing the show. And yeah, so it seems that it's working on my side, but it's stuck on a particular place. In any case, to give my last answer before I conclude the show, yes, there is a double standard, because no one talks of Susan Wojcicki as a American oligarch, but it's the way the system creates the impression of a foreigner on the other side, and... yes, we should not fall for this trap, because there are plenty of oligarchs who are taking control of America, and they should be equally criticized to those of other nations. Well, that is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.